This is the Rich Eisen Show.
I met him a couple of times.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Whose tickets did they buy? Were there 2,000 just unbought? So did they go on the secondary ticket market? Or were there really like 2,000 seats available for game six?
The Rich Eisen Show.
Knicks win the series in six, and the Knicks are advancing to round number two.
Today's guests, Fox Sports NBA analyst Jim Jackson, Bucks linebacker Lavonte David, actor and comedian Jim Gaffigan. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
That's right. Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show, or as the last guest that sat in our guest chair might call it, the Sports Comforter Show. Welcome to this program. I will envelop you with a comforter and keep you nice and sports warm for the next 3 hours on this program. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Jim Gaffigan's in studio hour number three. We'll continue the laughter from Jerry Seinfeld's outstanding appearance on our Thursday show. Jim Jackson's going to be first up, talking about what we saw in the NBA playoffs last night, what we could see in closeout games potentially tonight. And then Lavonte David.
Nice.
Another LD right here on the Rich Eisen Show from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers is going to be joining us. It's What's More Likely Friday, hey. As always, and 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Good to see you over there, Christopher. Hey. What's going
Rich,
on?
What's up, man? Are you a weighted blanket guy, too, with the comforter?
What do you mean?
Like one of those heavy blankets so you, like, feel the weight on your body while you're sleeping.
You know what? I'm a guy who just, you know, and this is something we could talk about with Jim Gaffigan later on. I'll just sleep under whatever cover.
Whatever's there. It doesn't matter if it's heavy.
Yeah,
light.
You know, if the missus wants to put a duvet on it.
There you go.
I'm always the one who kind of trying to figures out how to fit the corners of that comforter into the duvet corners. Those are very difficult.
Very difficult.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I feel you.
Didn't think we'd start this way.
Nope.
But thanks for asking.
I'm talking about comforters.
I don't know.
Good to see you over there, Jason Feller. How are you?
I'm good. There's actually a drop for you guys talking about this.
What do you got? I slept like a rock last night.
You did.
Wow, I had no idea what that is.
What is that from and where?
I've been waiting two years. I don't know what it
My
was.
My goodness, I don't even know what that is.
Wow.
We got a new Seinfeld drop. I don't know if Del Tufo actually put that together for you to find out.
Sure, it's spelled wrong.
Okay, very good.
I don't even know what
good
that
to see
means.
You. Oh, there you go. Very good. Good to see you, Jason. Good How are you, sir? TJ Jefferson, do we need a sports hug today? What do we need?
I don't want nobody touching me right now.
Therapy, couch. There's a couch over here.
Out of respect to you.
You know.
Out of respect to you, I offer the sports hug. If you wish to show me the back here. Or by the way, if this means anything, I would subscribe to your podcast. That's fine. You know.
What
that's the Patrick Beverly response right there.
Yeah.
Apparently, you know, that's the way it works in the NBA. You're not allowed to actually ask somebody a question unless you're subscribed to their podcast.
Hello, America.
But seriously, I'm here for you for a sports hug.
Yeah, Rich. Look,
because you might need one again tonight.
Maybe if today was the first time that someone has listened to the show, they might buy this act that you're trying to give me right now.
Act. I'm the sports comforter.
I don't think anyone who's listened more than three times believes what you're saying.
I think if it wasn't your team that beat his team, then maybe this would be come across a little more genuine.
No, I offered you when the Cowboys got eliminated.
Yeah,
for
no,
a sports hug,
like
I came
Jets
over and gave it
them,
to you.
You know?
And we weren't buying that either.
Del Tufo's the one, like, he's got the picture of him, like, like, he's the one celebrating your demise. But I actually came and gave you that hug
after
the Cowboys got eliminated.
That's
now,
funny.
Well, you had
isn't
no
that
skin.
An act? I'm honestly,
you had no skin in that Cowboys game, but
I mean,
that's what you
last
do,
night,
you know. You know. As a new fan to the Knicks.
New fan.
Because you left them, as we all know.
I left them because my team's owner left Charles Oakley to rot in lockup.
I mean, what did that have to do with...
Charles Oakley is my guy.
Sand.
Come on. If I had to name my top five favorite Knicks of all time,
Jalen Brunson.
You
want to
do
Brunson,
it?
Jalen Brunson.
Should
five.
I do it?
Top five.
Even without a drop, top five Knicks of all time.
We don't need no stinking
Hold on,
drop.
We can get the drop. We can tap dance.
They pull me back in.
Correct.
We can tap dance.
Let's hit it. What you got?
Do we got a top five? We can hit it. Go ahead and hit it if you got it. I don't know if you got it. Here, listen.
I'll give it 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
No, no, I'll do it at the end. I'll do it at the end of the segment.
Well, now you peaked your interest.
High five. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Oh, okay.
Bridges, top five.
Didn't expect to do this. Didn't expect to do this. All right. where are we going to go here?
New York Knickerbockers.
Number five. Is a tie. John Starks, Anthony Mason.
Oh, tie.
Number four. Mace. Number four is, is Oakley.
Okay.
Number three is Ewing.
Three Ewing?
Yes.
Interesting.
Because you know who number two is.
Number two is Jalen Brunson.
Okay. Ooh, wow.
Bernard.
Number one is Bernard King. How about that? Off the top of the dome right there. And I'm sure I'm leaving a couple out. But John Starks, Anthony Mason, Oakley, Ewing, Brunson.
Allen Houston's sitting there waving his hand.
And
like
Bernard
right
King. Oh, please.
Mello.
Allen Houston.
Linsanity.
Huh?
Linsanity.
Get out of here with the Linsanity nonsense. It's nonsense. It's
For two
nonsense.
Weeks, it was not nonsense. Rich.
It was. It's empty calories. It's when Knicks fans thought this is the change. We were looking for the change. You're looking for the tide turning for so long. When's the tide going to turn? And then you had a schmecky owner sitting there with somebody who was age inappropriate. Scarf. Holding his coffee cup, watching Oakley go into lockup. Don't pull me down in the wormhole when things are going so well.
Boom!
Let me just say this while I'm on a roll. To the owners of the Philadelphia 76ers. Needed to buy more than 2,000 tickets.
Oh, boy. Like I said, insincere.
Needed to buy more. Now, you got me on a roll here.
Well, that's how I like you.
Well, needed to buy a... Someone other than Tobias Harris to play in the game last night.
Oh, man.
I think he was on the tape.
But listen, kind of fitting for the Knicks to get a three-pointer from Josh Friggin Hart, who's got all heart. That guy has just been awesome since the Knicks grabbed him.
Yeah.
And then the guy who should have been in the mix for most improved player in the league, and Dante DiVincenzo hitting two free throws. To keep the Knicks up by three. And then when the Sixers were playing, let's just go for 2 points here and there and not shoot the three just yet. And the Knicks, by the way, fouling Tyrese Maxey this time. Good idea.
That was smart.
Good idea.
In the backcourt, too.
Yeah, could have saved us the trouble of having the Sixers owners buy their own tickets for their own fans. And then Brunson hits two free throws to seal it. And I'll be honest, sir, I know he's been playing well for the Sixers of late. I would have chosen Buddy Hield to take that last three. Any day of the week, any time, as long as it's not the most improved player in the league.
Oh, so you were happy with
Buddy. Dude, come on, man.
Buddy was having a good game last night.
I'm sure he was, but not Maxey, not Embiid. You take it, Buddy.
Yeah, that's the kind of shot you'll live with.
Oh, please, you know. Any day of the week. And it's fitting that those three guys help put the Knicks into the second round, and in all cities, Philadelphia, the Nova Knicks, as they are being called.
And that's a Georgetown fan in me hates Villanova, so I hate this Knicks team. I hate the three of them.
Sorry,
I hate
sir.
What happened last night. I'm not happy today, people. I'm just
that's saying. Why I was offering you a hug.
Yeah, but not from you. You're going to hug me and smile.
No, I'm not.
Your team did it.
I'm not.
Awesome. It was your team that did it.
The Nova Knicks. All
Nova
together. At, by the way, St. John fan, all the St. John fans are, you know, St. John's fans are in New York. Suddenly,
feeling the same
love,
way.
Oh, they
bit,
love
right?
Villanova all of a sudden. This is the greatest. Sports creates strange bedfellows. I once cheered for Wade Boggs on a horseback.
That's weird.
Okay. Like strange bedfellows.
Wade Boggs on a horseback.
Dude.
It had to feel dirty, right?
Hey.
But you got that.
Listen, all three of them interviewed together, sat together for the media last night talking about their relationship.
Can't stand these dudes.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm being honest.
Oh, I was about to answer. Oh, no. Nah, I mean, it's amazing because we have great friendship. You know, we love each other. We're like brothers. And, you know, we...
On a serious note, I think on the court, it's, you know, you have the ability to bring everybody together, make adjustments, have that open, you know, line of communication with nobody, you know, nobody taking offense. I think everybody's, you know, goal here is to win. And it's easier when you have two guys that you've played with formerly, so you know that sometimes when things get heated, it's coming from the right place, and then that translates to everybody, and everybody's able to talk to each other in that way.
Amen, man. Two things. First of all, I'm just so glad Dante DiVincenzo doesn't have a podcast, so the person who was asking the question was free to ask the question, and he felt open to respond. Listen, Knicks fans, I will just counsel you this. The team you're playing next, the Pacers, because they eliminated the Bucks last night, speaking of Patrick Beverley, they are good. They are young. They are good. They are strong. They are deep. Got a good coach. But gotta feel really good to beat the Sixers in an old school, old fashioned Eastern Conference playoff game, Donnybrook, where it just came down to the little things in the last seconds. The margin of victory for the Knicks in this series, 1 point. 1 point. That's how tight it was.
Which is 1 point more than Tobias Harris scored last night.
All I needed was a bucket.
Or the amount of points that Embiid scored in the last game they had at home.
In the fourth quarter.
That's fine. We'll discount what he had in the three.
No,
quarters.
Listen, hey, this needs to be said as well for you. Tyrese Maxey is fantastic.
Absolutely.
21st overall pick of the 2020 draft. You want to redraft that?
A lot of teams would.
Who wants to redraft 2020?
Ooh.
Tyrese Maxey sitting there.
Does he go second overall?
21st over.
I don't think he goes lower than third. All.
Oh, my God. Is he good? And Embiid had this to say about the team building of the Sixers. Is this the process?
No, the process.
That's going on?
Please.
I know it's gone. No, I know it's gone, but it's the new process. Well, he's talking about a process here.
I'm having a fever sweat.
We're talking about process.
What are we talking about?
What are we talking about? We're talking about process. This is what it sounded like to me after the game last night, sitting next to Maxey.
One of the big things, you know, when it comes to winning is, I mean, you look at all the teams that have won. You can't just, you know, put, you know, people together for 1 year and hope that it's going to work out. So obviously we have some experience together and then I think, you know, that's the way to go. You just got to keep going, keep building around it and, you know, find the right mix of people to make it happen. But yeah, I'm excited.
Didn't sound excited, be straight up.
Well, that's his voice.
Keeping everything together. Is the Matt Ishbia playbook, it seems like. Hey, what does he mean? Help me out with this. Because he means Harden, obviously, where somebody comes in and out, right? Mm-hmm. Are you talking Jimmy Butler,
too? Jimmy Butler was there 55 games.
Who else is he referring to here? Right?
Seems like it's those two guys, mm-hmm. right?
The thing is, though, the Sixers have a pretty decent amount of cap space, so there's going to be new players next
year. Well, who are we talking about? So,
Paul George.
Paul George.
Paul George. I don't think he's going to be back with the Clippers, right, TJ?
I don't think he'd leave.
Okay,
you're starting a new stadium, a new arena. Like,
yeah,
I don't know the chance.
Yeah, come. Do you know how hardcore the Clippers? I know a ton of Clippers fans in this town. They have been all over their season ticket holders, making sure they're going to make the move from downtown to Englewood. Mm-hmm. What are they going to have less than? Come on out and see the team that potentially gets bounced in the first round with Kawhi Leonard being load managed. Come on out.
Yeah, Paul, I think
the Intuit Dome. Saying. Here comes load management season for Kawhi. Really? I don't know about that. Who else then? Even if Paul George, is Paul George putting you over the top past his team?
If you put Paul George right now on this Sixers team?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Puts him over the top.
Paul George would not have scored 0 points last night, Rich. That's just a fact.
It just comes down to the big man. That's what we've been talking about for years. Can he stay healthy for a full season and a full playoffs? We have yet to see it.
But even unhealthy, look at what the man did in this playoffs.
It's over, though. You're going home.
He did everything he could possibly do. He couldn't have done anymore.
I mean, he probably could have done more in the fourth quarter. It seemed like he didn't want the ball. He didn't want to go to the basket. He didn't want to be aggressive.
Because
he didn't want to
hurt. Watch the whole game.
But you just said if he's still hurt and he's still playing well, then why isn't he still doing the things that made him so successful and made him an MVP late in the game when they needed it the most.
And at the same time, where was Paul George in game five? One of the worst blowout loss for the Clippers ever. You know, honestly, that to me, it's apples and oranges, but it's also the same protocile here. Bradley Beal, right? He was going to make the Suns totally different. Oh, gosh, he's the third man in.
Brutal.
Right? Bradley Beal is coming from Washington, D.C., and he's been rescued from the Wizards' morass, and we're going to stick him with Booker. We're going to stick him with Durant, and they want a grand total of zero playoff games together. Zero. Point zero. Full Blutarski. That's what I'm saying. I don't know if Paul George is the difference, but...
Oh, I'm not saying he is.
That's why I'm saying...
Joel Embiid, like, people are going to try to knock him, and I'm just like, look what the guy's playing through. And
I guess I'm also caping for Daryl Morey a little bit here. Like, what, Harden was the wrong move?
I mean, obviously. Didn't work out. Wasn't the right move.
Butler was the wrong move, too. I mean, that's what I'm saying, is that, you know...
Butler wanted to
go. One in, one out. I mean,
am I wrong? Butler wanted to leave. He wanted.
Yeah, Butler didn't want to stay.
I know
then
that.
He tries to blame, like, oh, they wanted Tobias Harris instead.
No,
of
I just wonder what he means by one that we can't just keep adding guy one in, one out. He needs more chemistry. So keep Oubre. Keep.
Seems like he's gonna leave though, right?
Right. No, I mean,
I would love to keep Kelly Oubre.
But how do you keep?
He played great last night.
I don't know.
All I know is this.
When don't trade for Giannis. That's all I know.
When your bench scores 42 points and the opposing team's bench scores 5, you would assume that team should win this game. Like, it was 30-0
Sir,
at halftime.
I was following this game on my phone at the Hollywood Bowl last night with where I was at the Netflix is a joke night with Seinfeld and Jim Gaffigan, our third hour guest, and Sebastian Maniscalco and Nate Bargatze. I saw a tweet at halftime, Sixers bench 30, Knicks bench 0.
Yeah.
I mean, and I thought to myself, we're going to see game 7. Then I turned my phone on and, oh gosh, this is a game.
Well, it was 33-11 to start the game.
Right.
The Knicks came out gangbusters.
Unfired, and the Sixers just
But Tibbs
started,
doesn't play more than 6 guys.
I know.
Like, look at the minutes. DiVincenzo played the whole game. Josh Hart, 46. Brunson, 44. Ananobi, 45 minutes. Like,
hey, that's why, you got to counsel Knicks fans to pump the brakes a little bit. It's exciting. It's great. That's awesome. Pacers are no joke, man. Pacers are no joke.
The other guy from that 2020 draft, Tyrese Haliburton.
I think we're going to get another Eastern Conference oldie but goodie.
Seems like
they're obviously different than the Sixers.
Get ready for a lot of Reggie Miller clips this
week. No question about it. Well, I mean, we already saw it after Tyrese Maxey putting 6 points in 20-something seconds to force overtime.
Fire up 30 for 30 on classic.
I got it. All good. Fine. I'm ready for it because I'm back, baby. I'm back, baby!
I'm back, baby!
Must be nice being a long-suffering Knicks fan that you've been.
Okay. Okay.
That's a shame.
I'm not going to go there. Don't do it. Don't do it.
Let's go Pacers. That's all I got to say.
This guy. This guy. Now, come on now. You got your clips tonight. You can force a game 7. Would you go to one over the weekend?
You know, that secondary ticket market is expensive,
Let's
my friend.
Let's take a break. Jim Jackson, speaking of Clippers, he does the games locally.
Yeah.
Let's talk to him about tonight's games, last night's games. Our buddy Jim Jackson from Turner Sports and Fox Sports and so much more. Next, this is the Rich Eisen Show on a Friday. Let's talk Game Time. Boy, do we love using Game Time tickets at the Rich Eisen Show. And every single time I've been watching the basketball playoffs on TV, I've been wondering what it would be like to be at these games. And when you choose your tickets on Game Time, you can see the view from your seat, where the court is, where you are in relation to it. And then the all-in prices, that's my favorite feature. The all-in prices makes sure that you see the lowest price guarantee and also know exactly how much everything costs all in before you purchase. So all the guesswork is removed when you buy playoff tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use my code RICH for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for restrictions. Again, create an account, redeem my code RICH for $20 off your first purchase. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. Battle Creek, Michigan, 1963. Kellogg's and Post, sworn cereal rivals, race to create a pastry that will change the face of breakfast forever. A wildly imaginative tale of ambition, betrayal, and menacing milkmen, sweetened with artificial ingredients. Unfrosted stars Jerry Seinfeld in his directorial film debut. It features a supporting cast of comedy greats, including Melissa McCarthy, Jim Gaffigan, Hugh Grant, Amy Schumer, Max Greenfield, Christian Slater, Sarah Cooper, Bill Burr, and many more. Streaming right now on Netflix. So you wouldn't go to a Clipper game on Sunday if there is one?
Yeah, I would.
Game seven.
Well, okay, you're asking me, am I going to go to the Clipper game for game seven?
Hold on a second.
Is that your question?
Yeah. Hold on. He's not going to have this problem because there ain't going to be a game seven, dog.
Really?
Yes.
Why?
It's over, man.
Why?
Why? You've been watching the games?
I did. I saw game 3-4 win.
It's over.
It's not over. So maybe I'll go to game seven.
So what? You want to bet? You want to bet an expensive stake on it?
I don't need to. What the? Yeah, bet? You were so obsessed with betting. I don't need to bet.
Well, you're adamant that you're going to win, and I'm adamant that they're not going to win.
We're going to lose. That's going to.
I don't know.
Why does money have to be exchanged?
You're a realist.
Like he believes it, you believe it. Why can't that just be something to and just leave it at that?
Why is that? Well, that's no fun in that.
What are you talking about?
That man, his money.
There's nothing fun there.
I don't know. I mean,
it's not fun.
It's a conversation that you can have, and then Monday it's just like I told you so. I mean, that's
not good enough.
Verbal currency.
And by the way, he takes like a year to pay off a bet
that's true. I don't know why you would bet a single dime with this man ever.
Exactly.
Did you get paid or not?
Eventually,
dude.
Who cares?
Well,
if you get paid, what does it matter?
I don't think that would work. This
day and age, paying off a bet should not of $20 is a simple thing. You open up one of the many apps on your phone that can send currency from your phone to his phone.
An old phone. I mean, I'm not.
No. Like it's an Apple phone. There's that version of cash.
I have like a six.
There's your old friend Mo, first name Ven.
Yeah.
I don't even know what that means.
I mean, he's your pal, right? You can pay your pal.
Yeah.
Right.
By the way, Rich, I still got the 20. There's a
Zell.
There you go.
There's a friend named Zell.
I might have you.
I don't want to spend
it.
Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Terzo in Iowa. All rise, everybody. Terzo in Iowa is joining us here on the Rich Eisen Show. How you been, sir?
Terzo.
You there, Terzo?
Uh-oh.
Oh, no. Yeah, I'm here, Rich. Sorry about that, man. We're in a van full of people heading to Chicago.
What?
A van full of who people?
Just a van full of people.
Carl's people. Everybody say, hey. Hi, Rich. Hi, Rich.
Hey, what's up, Carl's folk?
Wow.
It's a bar and a car.
This is like
We're going up to Chicago to watch the Cubs play the Brewers for a 120 star.
Weirdest remake of Little Miss Sunshine I've ever seen.
Is it up to Chicago or over?
You're not wrong.
Are you in a VW bus? Is that the bus, the van you're in?
No,
what are you in?
No, we're in the Ford bus.
Okay,
and then we're being followed by the Chevy bus behind us.
There's two buses.
Short buses.
Two buses.
Okay?
No, that makes sense.
No, let's not talk more about short buses. Okay, different movie.
Caravan, baby.
All right, Terzo, what's on your mind with everybody else in the car?
Hey, Rich, just a couple housekeeping things. I thought it was so awesome that you guys got to meet up with Jeff in Detroit. Shout out to Jeff. That was super cool seeing you guys in that picture.
That was cool.
And I gotta give you guys a lot of credit for what you do with your fan base and how you incorporate us into your show. I think that's what makes you and Dan Patrick so much different than everything else.
Thanks.
You guys are awesome. It's really enjoyable for all of us.
Appreciate you saying that. And we'd act the same way towards you as well, even if you didn't pick us up at the airport, Terzo. You know?
Well, I would pick you up from the airport, but I would more likely send a car just to get you guys to Carl's because I probably have a couple cocktails.
We would love to do that at some point. And I don't know when that day will be, but we're sending our best your way in the van. What else? Anything else you got on your mind before we?
Yes. So we called the Bucks getting dumped in the first round. I hate that we actually called that early. Congrats to you and your Knicks taking out the 76ers. Jalen Brunson, it is a dog, man. He is so good. And I don't disagree with you. He's a lot of fun to watch, man. And just think about how good the Mavericks would be if they just would have paid the man his money.
Well, I mean, I don't know. And thanks for the call, Terzo. Best to everybody in the van.
Drive safe, Carl.
Kyrie wouldn't be on the team.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Yeah.
Brunson had to do this.
I think it's the perfect, worked out great for both teams.
Right?
Yeah.
I know. He's one of our favorites. He's back here on the Rich Eisen Show. Calls Clippers games locally, also nationally on Turner. And, I mean, he's got a lot of guys and a lot of ladies who pay him to talk into a microphone because he's very good at it. Jim Jackson here on the Rich Eisen Show. How are you, Jim? Good to chat.
It's a good day. My Clips play today, man. We got to rally back.
What in the world happened the other night, Jim? What happened?
The tendency for the Clippers, low energy. A lot of times you see this with our team, with the Clips. When you have a low energy, we tend to start off slow. In particular, sometimes you see it in the third quarter. Like when we were up 23 in game four, it was in Dallas and then gave up the lead in the third. You saw the third quarter in game five at home. And that's been the tendency, unfortunately, for our team. But then also with that, it's like that next game, you see a totally different team. And what I mean by energy, too, is that when the Clippers play with pace, when they get up and down the court, the ball is moving, it's hopping around. You can't guard everything. That's when it opens it up for, you know, James Harden, the pick and roll with Zubac in the middle, and the lob threat is there. Paul George now has more space to work with. But the tendency we've had all year, even when Kawhi's been in the lineup, the ball will stick. And then it'll be slow movement. The pace will be slower. And we don't operate the same efficiency. And I think we're not as potent offensively and defensively when they play like that.
Not to turn you into an information individual, but how badly hurt do you think Kawhi is, Jim?
I don't know if it's badly hurt. I'm not a doctor. I think the swelling part of it is the issue in that knee. You know, Kawhi played 63 games this year. He played a lot of games. Didn't want to miss a lot. They had to maintenance some of those games sometimes because of that knee. And that's the struggle, too, because the surgically repaired knee, you come back, you're a little bit older, you play more games, put more pounding on it, and it just so happened that the timing from this perspective of the knee kind of acting up was unfortunate once again for the Clippers. But I think you got a really good glimpse and the team has seen it this year, that they still can survive. They get through this series and get Kawhi back and healthy to compete for a title, but they can still win games without Kawhi. Of course, you want him in there. And I think, you know, Kawhi coming back and playing in game two, it was, he didn't look the same. He didn't have the same explosiveness, offensive, defensively, rebounding. Shot was a little flat. It was a result of that. And, you know, you want the best for him long term, more than anything else. But I do believe that the Clips get through the Mavericks, he can come back healthy and be ready to go for second round.
So what do you think of what the Mavericks are putting out there? It just, and again, I know game five recency bias, but Luka puts up a triple double after apologizing to Kyrie for not picking up the slack and then just took over Los Angeles. The whole team did.
In the past, too, the Clippers had problems last year guarding Luka. Listen, Luka, I think, averaged maybe 40 points against the Clippers. One-on-one is not a lot you can do. When you have a high-usage player like Luka, how are you going to stop him, okay? I mean, what you try to do, and I think Terrence Mann is doing an excellent job of trying to stay with the switches, force him to his right, even though he's a right-handed player, but he makes that step back going left. He makes more plays, passing going left. You just got to make him less efficient like we saw before. You're not going to stop Luka. The ball is in his hands too much. He can do too many things. And he's kind of like Joker from this perspective, not from a usage, because the beautiful thing about Denver and Jokic is that the ball gets out of his hands quickly. But where he really beats you is when you overhelp, overcommit, and now he's beating you with the pass. Derrick Jones is hitting three-point shots. It's, you know, Kleber hitting three-point shots. That's what beats you, too. Kyrie and Luka, if they get 30 apiece, okay, that's 60 points. That's 60 points. But when they really beat you is when you overcommit, you don't make them finish on some tough twos, and now they're spraying it open for threes. And I say this about Dallas. I love the moves that they made during the course of the year. My man Nico Harrison, who I had a relationship since he was at Nike. I mean, getting Gafford in there was huge. P.J. Washington was huge. They kind of restructured. And I'll say this too, man. I've always been a huge fan of Kyrie. You notice how quiet it's been around Kyrie this year?
Mm-hmm.
It's been all about basketball. Mm-hmm. And I think he's in a really, really great place mentally with that franchise, with Mark Cuban, with Jay Kidd, with Luka. And as a result, he plays a role that I think he's very comfortable. And I truly believe that Luka accepts Kyrie for who he is. And that's why I think he was probably a little disappointed in himself that he didn't perform to a high level. A lot had to do with the Clippers and the defense. But knowing kind of where Kyrie has come from and what he's been through and the sacrifices sometimes he's made, but, you know, he's put himself in some position sometimes because of his beliefs, which I don't have a problem with. But Dallas is one of those teams I said from the time they made the trade, better watch out for. Better watch out. Those two, plus with the moves they made, they're a tough out.
Jim Jackson here on the Rich Eisen Show. Not the question I thought I'd be asking you with the Bucks eliminated in the first round of the playoffs with Giannis not suiting up at all and Lillard being in and out of the lineup, but this is the question everybody's asking today is, what advice would you give Patrick Beverley, Jim?
Man, it is hard because I don't know Pat. I know he's a competitor. But you can't do that. I mean, you just can't. I mean, I've been in situations before where you had hecklers. We used to, remember back in the day, we used to have hecklers at games. Robin Vicker sat right behind the bench in Washington.
Professional.
Okay? He was a professional heckler, and he had the bio on you like you wouldn't believe. We had one in Cleveland. There was one in Detroit. So we've had them before. I mean, extreme. You can't do it. You just can't. Now, do you want to throw a ball and, hey, catch it and have a good time? That's great. Fire it at somebody that ends up hitting somebody in the stands, man, woman, or child, doesn't matter. So he's going to get fined for it. He has to suffer the consequences of those decisions. He's a grown man. Now, you can't allow emotions to get in the way, and I know we're highly competitive people. And, again, I don't know Pat Bev. I love his competitive spirit, but at some point you can't cross the line. If you do cross the line, there are consequences to it. Just like anything in life, there are consequences to your action. Whether you felt you were in the right in that situation, it doesn't matter. The optics on that do not look good, in particular because you lost the game. Now, he has the personality and the reputation of being a fierce competitor and will push the line. But this time you push the line too far. And with that, I'm sure the commissioner and the buying committee will come down harshly, which they should. Because in today's world with a lot of stuff going on, man, a lot of stuff going on with racial tensions, with, you know, athletes and social media and all this other stuff, the last thing we need is something going awry on the sideline because a player can control their emotions. And that's part of being a professional as well, is being able to control the narrative in certain situations during a game, win, lose, or draw, on what decisions you choose to make. Because at the end of the day, whoever that fan was, whatever they did, they're going to go to their life. They're going to continue to support the Pacers. And guess what, Pat Bev? You're going to go to yours, okay? But what you don't want is something like this that's going to tag you now at the back end of your career that may hamper what you do moving forward.
Jim Jackson here on the Rich Eisen Show. How far can the Knicks go, Jim? What do you think?
I think Eastern Conference Finals. I said that before. Because, now, again, a lot of people look at, well, Giannis didn't play in the Indiana series. So what? Indiana had the number during the regular season. It was a matchup nightmare for Milwaukee, whether Giannis played or not. Giannis had 69 points, 59 points, and two losses when they played them during the regular season. Indiana proved that they were the better team in that matchup. Maybe Milwaukee may have been the overall better team, but in that particular matchup, Indiana was better. I love this Knicks team. I'm a huge fan of Tom Thibodeau because he was an assistant coach of mine at the Houston Rockets. Love Tom. He's taking a lot of heat, a lot of criticism. The job they've done, Leon Rose in the front office by restructuring kind of how that team is built. The way they play ball without Randall. And I'm huge, huge fans of the Villanova young men because I got a chance to cover them when they came into college, watch them mature and win national championships at Villanova. And now you have the three Villanova Wildcats kind of leading the way. Josh Hart, heart of the line. This does a little bit of everything. Junkyard Dog will defend, will rebound. Now he's not big time three. Okay. Dante DiVincenzo kind of figure things out with Milwaukee, with Golden State, kind of found his way. Now he has a niche. And let me tell you something about Jalen Brunson. This one, I knew Jalen Brunson was different. In high school, he was probably rated the number one point guard coming out of high school. He could have went anywhere and started. Could have been his program. He chose to go to Villanova. And he chose to come off the bench behind Ryan Archie Diacono, who was a starting point guard and established veteran, to learn how to play the right way under Jay Wright and to learn from a veteran point guard. That says a lot about this young man's character and his upbringing with Rick Brunson and his mom about understanding and learning about the process of how to be great. You combine that with the undeniable work ethic and the true belief, and then the hunger to prove that, yeah, I'm better than what my draft status was. Put that together, bro. You can't help but pull for this Knicks team with regards to how hard they play. Are they the most talented team? No. But talent doesn't always win you games. It's the gritty, the grind, the commitment to play together, the attention to detail. Yes, they've made some mistakes down the stretch. Yes, they missed some free throws. But when you work hard, you play together, man, gravity has a way of working out in your favor. And this Knicks team can get to an Eastern Conference Finals, no doubt.
No question. Okay, we'll see how that works. Them against the Pacers is something I'm really looking forward to seeing. And, you know, with all due respect to whoever does emerge from the two series that are still going on in the first round tonight, would you agree that the main event of the second round is Timberwolves and Nuggets?
No, the main event is whatever Clippers is for me. You know,
I got it. There's bread, and you're buttering it, and it needs buttering. I understand.
It is because here's what I. And this is kind of what I love about them. And I talked about Jokic and his usage rate, which is probably very low. The understanding of how to run offense and defend both sides of the court. To have a dynamic player like Jokic who gives it up at the right time. To have Jamal Murray, not an all-star, you know, not a first-team all-NBA, but yet has it when it comes to it. Michael Porter Jr., for everything he's been through, the injuries, can he play, is he rebounding the defense? KCP, defender, knocking down shots. Aaron Gordon reinvented himself, and this is the best thing ever. We saw it. With him coming to Denver and playing a certain role and really feeding off Jokic. Question with Peyton Watson and Christian Braun, could they fill in on the bench and kind of do what, you know, Green and also Bruce Brown did last year? Reggie Jackson. This is – you look at the model of how to build a team. This is it. Around a super, superstar that has no ego – that plays the right way, how do you – it's tough to beat them because they beat you in so many different ways. It's not just one way. It's not one person commanding the ball. The ball moves. It doesn't stick. You got to guard the full real estate. And then you look at this Minnesota team. Rich, I don't know about you, but, you know, we talked about Anthony Edwards.
Uh-huh.
Steve Smith told me about him back when he was in high school. Steve Smith, the former Michigan State and Atlanta Hawk, works at Turner. Said, Jim, I got a young guy that I've been working with that's going to be different. He's just – and he ain't lying, man. And then Cat, I'm going to give Cat a lot of credit. Letting the ego go and understanding the bigger picture, playing a different role this year, accepting that it's probably Anthony's team, but that he and Gobert together can work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Mike Conley, Ohio State. Come on, man.
No, no, he's been great, and
right, Rich?
And no, he has been superb. He's awesome. And, you know, when you're going through the Nuggets, your defending champion Nuggets and how stout they are, and Jokic and Murray calling game on the Lakers twice, you know,
yes,
and how difficult it is to unseat a champion, I kept thinking to myself, but Anthony Edwards is one of those guys who cannot be told he can't. You know what I mean?
No.
Like, and that
no.
is,
no.
he strikes me as such a total wild card in this round that he could, mm-hmm. when he sat next to Carl Anthony Towns a couple of days ago and before they swept broomed the Suns, I played the soundbite here on the show where he told Carl Anthony Towns in front of him to stop effing fouling and then just look straight ahead. And I thought to myself, I know that there's a lot of Jordan comparisons and that's unfair, but that right there, I'm like, oh, okay. And Carl Anthony Towns kind of laughed, but this is Edwards' team, and he is putting his stamp down, and he's basically, stop effing fouling, and we're going to win. I heard that. I'm like, look out. Look
out, man. But you know why? One, he puts in the work. So he wants to play. He's right out there, okay? So when you're a leader, and you know this, Rich, words have meaning. Words have gravity. But actions have to follow that.
Right.
And that's what Anthony Edwards brought to the table from day one. He wants to play. He wants to be the best. But he puts in the work. And he's on the court. He's available. So when he speaks, it speaks a lot louder because his actions back it up. And they're sincere. Because he's, from all understanding, an outstanding teammate, an outstanding young man. All about the team. Never been about him with regards to it's about me and everything else is secondary. No, he said, I want to be all defensive team, one of the best defensive players. I want to rebound the ball. I want to pass and make my teammates better. How can you not love that? How can you not buy into that narrative from a young man that's kind of cut from a different cloth from old school? Okay. And that to me is why this series is so intriguing. And I got to go back and look at the numbers during the regular season on this series. But because you have Gobert and Cat that could guard Jokic, and I'm not saying stop him. Notice I said guard. And play him one-on-one when you don't have to give as much help. The key is going to be Aaron Gordon and his offensive rebounding, his lob threat. KCP taking away those open shots, he and Michael Porter. And Jamal Murray, that pick and roll game, especially in particular in the middle, because that is so hard to guard because Jokic can step back and shoot. If you go under, Murray now can step back and shoot it. How you defend that consistently, not all the time. They're going to get some stuff off that action. They're just too good. But can you limit that effectiveness, in particular in a close game in the last 4 minutes, where they're not as effective in that pick and roll situation? That right there for Minnesota is going to be the challenge. It's going to be the challenge. And can you win a game at 5-2-8-0, which is the altitude in Denver?
Mm-hmm.
Can you win a game on a road, which is going to be very important?
I love it. Jim, can I keep you for just a couple more minutes or you got to run?
Let me see. No, I'm good.
Okay, we're gonna take a break. I want to do a quick story time with you when we come back. Jim Jackson, right here on the Rich Eisen Show. 844-204 Rich, number to dial. If you're on hold, stay on hold. We'll take your calls in hour number two. Levante David coming up shortly in studio.
Afford Anything talks about how to avoid common pitfalls, how to refine your mental models, and how to think about
how to think.
Paula, while certainly you can mess up on $1 million a year, it is far less likely than it is on $30,000 a year.
Right.
I would meet wonderful people that were struggling with a budget that was super tight. It was 100%. You need to make more money.
Make smarter choices and build a better life.
Afford anything, wherever you listen.
What's up, everyone? It's Reality Steve, your number one source for all things Bachelor Nation and reality TV. Every day, I'm giving you the behind-the-scenes juice and your info on all your Bachelor Nation stories and also interviewing some of your favorite reality stars. My name has been synonymous with spoilers, but I'm so much more than that. Give me a listen.
The Reality Steve Podcast, part of the Bleav Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Back here on our program, Jim Jackson's still here. You there, Jim? You there, Jim? Can we pop Jim back on? We got him there? There he is. Hey, Jim. Good to see you.
I'm still here.
Sorry, I appreciate it. Yeah, we're here on, you know the way this works. You sat in this chair, you know, where this is just the TV only segment.
The chair was hot.
The chair was hot because you were starting telling Jamal Mashburn stories from back in the day. Let me tell you something, Jim. That story that you told about your Mavericks days, that was our number one video on YouTube for like 2 weeks. Hey, I'm serious.
The people needed to know.
Jim.
The people want to know, man. The people want to know.
You asked him, right, TJ?
I had to.
Of course TJ asked. Of course he did.
He was dying to know.
Here's the funny part, Rich. He waited to kind of really get ingrained in our friendship.
Yes.
And talked and really did. He been wanting to ask me that question.
Since I was like 17 years old. So, you know, I had to test the temperature because what if Jimmy didn't want to talk about
it? It came across like this. So it's like, well, you know, I've been wanting to ask, you know, it kind of, well, you know, it's something I really want to ask you. You know, it's like, I already know what it is. Before he even gets into it, I already know.
I just, you know, I wanted to know if the heart was unbroken. That's all.
Okay.
You
know? We got an answer. I know that we got an answer.
It was a great answer.
After he gave me the answer, he looks at me and goes, you're a little disappointed, aren't you? I was like, well, yeah kind of. I was expecting
it. Listen, sometimes the truth hurts, TJ. Yeah. The truth sometimes hurts. It's okay.
He said it wasn't as big of a deal as everybody made it out to be, and he was telling the truth about that.
No, but I did tell you my stock price went up, though. I did tell you that.
That's true.
That's it, Teddy. Stock price went up. We should do that when Jim's next in the chair. We could call that segment TJMZ.
Oh, that's what
Sports.
I'm talking about.
Okay. TJMZ back on the Rich Eisen Show. Here we are. Jim Jackson sticking with us here through the break. So I kept you through the break because earlier we were talking about, you know, obviously hecklers behind the bench and Pat Bev and all the, you know, ugliness that occurred last night in Indianapolis. You mentioned Robin Ficker, which is a name mm-hmm. I am familiar with, and TJ, you are familiar mm-hmm. with, and yep. Brockman, some old school heads man. Are familiar with.
Washington,
and I mean, a Washington-based heckler. And you said he had the book on you and others. What do you mean by the book? Can you explain to people? Because I want folks to understand in this day and age of rabbit ears and players hearing stuff and getting angry about it that this is like, you know, basically you're holding their beer basically from back in the day with Robin Ficker. So what's your best Robin Ficker story that he had the book on players? What do you mean by that?
Well, it's a couple of things.
Okay.
For you remember when. What was the book Jordan had? The Jordan Rules.
Yeah, that was the old.
He was sitting behind the Chicago Bulls bench, reading excerpts of that book, saying to the Bulls, Bill Cartwright, reading where Michael Jordan said he didn't want to throw Bill the ball at the end of the game. I mean, just like going at him, like don't throw him the ball. Bill can't compete in the fourth quarter. Michael doesn't want to throw you the ball. He's saying all this stuff, right? I mean, he would go and research. Quinn Buckner was our coach my second year. He's sitting right behind us. Mind you, too, he would wear some Timberlands and stomp. He's sitting there and said, don't listen to him. Quinn trying to draw a play. He doesn't know what he's talking about. He's from Indiana. He wants to run the triangle. He said, listen, he had a sign up there. And it had Emmy Axon, Amal Mashburn, and Asian kid. No, he said, the problem is none of you guys got any J's. He was clever. He had clever stuff. Smart. He had factual stuff. And then sometimes it got to a point as a player, bro, you couldn't even be mad anymore. You just laughed. Because you look forward, you hated it at first when you went to Washington. But then you look forward to like, man, what he got for us today? Fortunately for us, you know, in the Western Conference, you only went once.
Right.
Sure. Your Eastern Conference team, you went twice, so you got it. But, man, I tell you, when you came from the West and he knew you only were there one time, man, he would come with some stuff, man. He talked some – oh, my God. But he was an attorney. Yeah. Keep in mind, this wasn't just like a rabid fan that was unintelligent and just was at the game. This was an attorney. He would do his research.
That means he must have had a staff. You know what I mean? He could have had a staff, like, you know, working on this sort of
great
stuff.
Point.
You know, he could have had people give him his material for going up to the games.
His peeps worked on it.
Different
and they,
times.
And they said he never cursed at the players. Well,
that's a different day and age. You
just
know?
Was really smart with
it. It was some people that were cursing now. Don't get that back then. But he was, it's funny because when he got in some personal problems is when they took his tickets, from what I remember. And that's when he was removed from the stadium or the arena. But up until that point, he and my guy from Cleveland and Detroit, they were more so, it's like Clipper Daryl.
Yeah, yeah.
They're encouraged to come because the fans get behind them. Mm-hmm. And they're great because they're not crossing the line. They're up to the line, but they don't. I don't think Robert has ever said anything or those guys anything racial or anything negative like that.
Right.
Different. But they get on you. That's a whole different thing. So they were encouraging, you know, the organizations didn't do anything about that, you know, because that was a part of their home court advantage, having those gentlemen be a part of their crowd and be a part of their fan base.
Different time. Jim Jackson, you are the man, sir. Thanks for sticking around. Two segments. We'll chat again real shortly. Good luck to the Clips tonight, sir.
Clips tonight, baby. Cigar in hand, ready to go. I'm not even going to have tequila and rum to watch. I'm just going to have the cigars. I can be in my mental state of mind watching the game. I got to be focused.
He's all set. Jim Jackson, everybody. Well done. And obviously, TJ, you can just – text him in the game and ask him all the other. Well, save your powder for the next time he's in this chair.
Yeah. I already did. Okay. Full disclosure, let me tell you what happened. When Jimmy's hosting, he goes to me. He goes, hey, man, you ever need Clippers tickets? Hit me up. Now, that's just something I think you say to be nice to somebody, right? Little did he know, though, game one comes and I'm sitting here and I go, you know what? Let me hit Jimmy.
Did you do it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Game one.
I knew the answer. Jeez. I knew there was no way, but I was like, you know what? I'm going to hit him up.
Rich, can he at least ease his way into the day? You know what I mean? Before we go to Mastro's, bro, can we go just grab a bite real quick, something else, and then work our way to Mastro's
You don't get what you don't ask for.
Exactly.
Closed mouths don't get fed. You
know?
And me and Jimmy Jackson is like this now. So I figured, I said, look, I already know the answer.
Listen, I tried, and my connect and my two connects were like, Jim. We have no playoff
pick. Yeah,
now,
I
could have found you one in the nosebleeds in 300.
But he didn't want to do it to his boy.
But since you're my boy, I said, I can't take care of my boy like that and put him in the 300.
That's right.
He'd be better off watching it with me at the cigar spot.
All right. So, you know, let's see if there's round two. Then we just know
round two, I got you.
Oh, fantastic.
Oh, let's go.
Yes. You know? By the way, and by that he means a Cuban, not...
Gotcha. I didn't disclose what I got you mean.
Unless Cuban wins tonight. Thanks, Jim. You're the best, man.
Thanks.
Welcome to Talkville,
the ultimate Smallville rewatch podcast. Guest star Sarah Carter as Alicia Baker.
Although I didn't really work with her a lot. But Tom did, and they had some real big smoochy scenes.
Yeah. Should we talk about that?
Could there be any more sex? What was a three-page makeout scene that just kept going? Good Lord. We get it. They have chemistry.
Jump in now or catch up on any of the past seasons of Talkville on YouTube or wherever you listen.